Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for, well, an intelligence briefing on what I call the war for the free world. Big changes in that war, here at home at least, in the course of yesterday's elections. The Republicans took control of the Senate. A majority they previously had in the House was increased, and extraordinary results at the level of various governors around the nation, which went from Democratic hands to Republican or saw Republicans reelected. Against, in some cases, long odds. To help make sense of what this means, both for the polity and for our policies, I am thrilled to have one of the most, I think, thoughtful of observers. She is nationally syndicated columnist and best-selling author Diana West. You can find her work at dianawest.net. And, of course, her superb books, Death of the Grown-Up and American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. Diana, welcome back. Well, it was a long night for you, I'm sure, as for all of us. What do you make of what came of it?
Well, it was a very exciting outcome because it showed that the body politic was still alive. I take these sweeping changes as very heartening news. I see them as a cry for help. A cry for help to Republicans to do something to stop the lawlessness, to stop the drift, to stop the socialization, to stop Obamacare, to stop amnesty. I mean, this really was a very decisive message to someone to do something. I mean, really, that's what I see this as more than anything else. It was an extreme rejection of the past 6 years.
And, you know, it was fascinating that in his seeming narcissism and hurt feelings about not being allowed to campaign for basically anybody, raise money, yes, but not go out and be seen on the hustings, Barack Obama did what Republicans could only have dreamed of him doing, which is to say to personally place on the agenda, as he put it, that every one of his policies was going to be on the ballot, even though he were not. To that extent, Diana, that this really represented a repudiation by the American people of those policies, do you think that the Republicans are likely to respond to the cry for help, as you call it, and establish really a distinction and an alternative path for America?
Honestly, no. I don't think that they will deliver. I will certainly do my best in terms of writing to hold them to these promises that they've made and this hope that they have given the American people. But we have to be quite cynical about this. We've seen so often these chances thrown away. And I think one of the first very important moves will be when we see what kind of leadership the new Republican conference will elect. This is key. So time will tell. I answer your question honestly. It may not be the happy face, but I think we have to be realistic and people need to stay on their case. Individual citizens need to stay on their individual representative cases.
Yeah, I think that's certainly true. And it is most palpably obvious in the Senate, where the next go-around, the Republicans will not be doing what they were doing in this race. They will have many seats up for grabs, and I think there will be a very high likelihood that they will find themselves out on their ears, at least as a majority in the Senate, if they don't live up to the promises. So we'll look forward to helping you keep them honest and fulfilling, particularly when it comes to things like opposing President Obama's efforts to provide amnesty through executive action or other examples of lawlessness or his embrace of the Islamists, or his, very, very dubious conduct with respect to Ebola, all things that I think were palpably of concern to voters that need, as you say, corrective action. Let me switch gears a little bit. One other place where we're going to be watching a lot of political ferment, I suspect, is with respect to Afghanistan. In your column, you've written about the need for accountability there. Talk a little bit about what you think is the degree of accountability that our government officials should be, responsible for.
Well, we're looking at the pullout of American forces over the next months. We've already seen the Marines leaving Helmand Province. We've seen Army forces really packing it up as well just this week. This is a 13-year-long war of tremendous cost and sacrifice, tremendous amounts of money, billions and billions of dollars, and many men's lives, many of our fighting forces' lives and limbs and health and mental well-being and their families, and America's reaction to all of this. And none of this has ever had any kind of reality check. None of this has ever had any kind of meaningful oversight. We lost based on a losing strategy that was blind to A, Islam, and B, what could be accomplished by an American force in the Islamic world in Afghanistan in terms of, quote, nation building. These policies were disasters that have not been examined, have not been publicly repudiated, and have not really even been acknowledged. So a call for accountability is a call to have hearings on what went wrong in Afghanistan. These are the same policy.
As you've pointed out in your writings, particularly at your columns, which people, again, can find at dianawest.net, a central piece of the problem in both countries was this so-called counterinsurgency strategy or COIN strategy, and sort of its foundation on not just sand but quicksand, really, that we could ignore the inherent nature of Sharia specifically and its hostility towards us as we try to build nations in both places. Diana, talk about the specific case of a Sergeant Miller as kind of a paradigm for that COIN strategy run amok.
Well, Sergeant Derek Miller is currently serving a sentence of life without possibility of parole at Leavenworth Prison. He has no possibility of parole for 10 years. He's exhausted his legal appeals, and essentially he was convicted of premeditated murder on the battlefield in the perimeter of his base, which was surrounded by four hostile villages, and an Afghan penetrated the perimeter. Very long story short, Sergeant Miller killed this Afghan and was convicted of premeditated murder. It is one of the most amazing travesties of justice out of just a lot of this terrible, terrible system of punishing military personnel as if they are functioning in an American city and not a kinetic battlefield everywhere they go. And we've seen this time and time again. And his case is particularly egregious now that we look at the seeming emptying of Guantanamo Bay, while not giving any notion, any merciful dispensation of clemency to men like Sergeant Miller, and there are others who continue to be tormented by the military justice system, losing their lives that they did come home with from the battlefield, but now they are rotting in prison for these same failed COIN policies. I mean, they are the prisoners of COIN. They are the actual people who have to pay for this policy, and it's absolutely shameful.
It is, and it will prove, I'm afraid, extraordinarily counterproductive, Diana West, because as you've taught me, and I think many of us, the practical effect of this kind of bizarre policy on our enemies. On the one hand, they can only perceive our conduct of the wars as evidence of our unwillingness to use our power, which they read as weakness. And our mistreatment of our own people for simply defending themselves is further evidence of submission, it seems, to their program. All of these are reasons for you to be, very much heard in your appeal for accountability on the one hand and course corrections on the other. I pray this new Republican majority in the House and Senate will heed these appeals and take the necessary steps to get us back on a sensible footing and contend with an adversary determined to destroy us. Diana West, we have to leave it at that for the moment. Thank you for this immediate reaction to the events of yesterday. We'll look forward to talking with you next week about them and more. In the meantime, stay well. Thank you so much for all you do. Next up, we'll talk with Jim Hansen. We'll get his boots-on-the-ground perspective on all of this and what it might mean specifically, this change of government for national security. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.